Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Rotor Paul podcast. We're here to talk about some good news for once. Signings. Feels like the season's finally underway, doesn't it? Now we've brought a couple of players in. We're re-signing, I guess, of Bailey Wright from Bristol City, who, well, he was released at the end of the season, but free transfer signing, 2-year deal, which is great news, I guess, in the sense that he's a good player. Not so great news that he's injury prone, but we'll see how that goes. And we've also brought in Aidan O'Brien, Millwall striker, again another free transfer, somebody who comes pretty highly rated. So yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about both players, see what they're maybe going to get up to when the season starts. And today I'm joined by Craig and Alex. Lads, how are we doing?
Very good.
Yeah, not bad.
Fantastic. So, Craig, first off, Bailey Wright signed for Sunderland, 2-year deal. Phil Parkinson seemed pretty happy. He said, I'm delighted to have signed Bailey. He's a very good player, but he's also an excellent character and leader. He's really important sign for us. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, it does. He's a really important sign for us, and because of his quality, there was plenty of competition for his signature, so I'd like to credit the owner and Jim Rodwell for getting the deal over the line. Happy, unhappy, not convinced? How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm over the moon that we've managed to bring him back in. Before his arrival at Sunderland, I'd seen an awful lot of Bailey Wright back in his Preston days when I used to cover an awful lot of them under Simon Grayson's time. When we brought Bailey Wright into the club, I know that there was, you know, a lot of comments about his injury record and things like that, but it's important to remember on the positives. As soon as he came into this side, we kept 4 clean sheets out of 5 against Tranmere, Ipswich, Oxford and Rochdale. The only exception was the 2-0 game down at Portsmouth. But in hindsight, you know, we had plenty of chances where in reality we could have been ahead in that game, but so be it. But yeah, it's certainly a good signing. Obviously, it is something that we needed to do because we were so incredibly short of numbers after losing Ozturk. Can't really factor Tommy Smith into that because he didn't do an awful lot. Jack Baldwin as well. So we did need strength and depth. And I think it's certainly an important signing because I would actually rate him immediately as our best centre-back straight away. It's good, obviously, for Jordan Willis and Tom Flanagan as well that we're going to have a bit of consistency there, and it immediately starts us with that springboard of knowing that Phil Parkinson likes his back three, and I think it is a pretty good back three as well. It actually goes far as saying I think this is the best defensive partnership we've had since we've dropped out of the Premier League. He brings in enormous experience. Obviously, he's won promotion out of this division before, albeit it was 5 years ago now with Preston, but yeah, it's an extremely important signing, I would say, and it's a really good step in the right direction. I know there was a little bit of concern amongst the fan base that whilst other teams were doing a bit of business, we were quite quiet on that front. And there was concerns, of course, that we've just lost some members of the recruitment team. So a little bit of uncertainty on that side. But yeah, I'm really happy with him. Just noting, obviously, the injury record. I think that there has been a lot of concerns and much has been made regarding that. But I would just draw people to, well, the ever trustworthy Wikipedia on this. But stats actually aren't really that bad in terms of appearances. He has actually played more than 40 games each season up until 2018-19. And I know he had his knee injury here last season, and he's had a couple of niggles Bristol City as well. But I think he's going to fit in absolutely well here. And providing he can be managed right, one of Phil Parkinson's successes was in terms of the fitness and things like that, I think we've got a hell of a defender on our hands.
Alex, do you share Craig's enthusiasm for Bailey Wright?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Looking back at last season, we had that back three where, as Craig highlighted, we kept, you know, a very good string of clean sheets. And I, again, what Craig said there, I hadn't really thought of, but obviously since dropping out of the Premier League, I would certainly agree that that's the best defensive back line. I mean, obviously, you know, what was the Championship season? You had, what, Browning and O'Shea? You know, that was probably your strongest back line for centre-backs, and that was obviously fairly horrendous, as was evident by the rapid drop in the League One. And since we've been there in the 18-19 season, you would probably argue that defence was maybe the weakest aspect of the team. You need only look at Baldwin and Flanagan against Coventry in a few other games where there was no real confidence, no real cohesion, or real sort of formidability at the back. It was very much that we had two players who looked like that they didn't look sure of themselves or each other, and as soon as the going got tough, they didn't get going, they were got, I suppose, to put it bluntly. But no, with that back three, we have essentially Parkinson's strongest preferred defensive lineup, albeit only the first team squad with no current depth. But there's plenty of time to rectify that and bring some more faces in. But like Craig says again, we have Willis, we have Flanagan, we have Wright. And I think just based on what we saw of his team selections, that's his preferred defensive partnerships. And I think evidently that's also his strongest ones. Wright, for me, did a very good job of sort of allowing Willis and Flanagan to move into the flanks necessarily to cover the wing backs, and I think he commanded a lot of presence there that especially Flanagan needed. We saw again, to maybe reference the Coventry game, him and Baldwin together always looked very unsure of each other, but Wright seems to bring more of like a leader's presence to that back line. Maybe Willis doesn't need it so much. Willis is, I think, possibly is probably composed and intelligent enough to not necessarily require that, but I'd imagine that certainly helps. And in the case of Flanagan, it's possibly good for him to have someone to help sort of coordinate the motions when the team's moving forward with the team, when they attack and when they're moving back to defend. So yeah, he could really prove to be an integral part of that team, a real keystone to the bridge. Hopefully, obviously, touch wood, I've not got any wooden services that I can currently knock that is in my immediate grasp, but assuming he doesn't get injured, I think that'll be a fantastic signing. And I'm just going to go on the record and say it, just because I think we need to say it, because I don't want to sort of brand myself or the Roker Report as being totally negative of the powers that be, but I suppose, you know, well done, fair play, Jim Rodwell, for getting that over the line, because that was a big signing that the fans wanted to have made.
Yeah, well, that's precisely what Phil Parkinson said he did. He gave Jim Rodwell and the owner credit for getting the deal over the line. Just to touch on what you said there about leadership, I think, you know, that's probably the biggest character trait that Wright gives us, injured or not, because he's been captain of a few teams, hasn't he, throughout his career. And in his quote on SAFC.com, he obviously touched on the fact he was happy to be here, but he did make a really interesting point, I thought. He said, although I only worked with the manager for a short spell, I really enjoyed the structure and discipline of the team, which is something that Tom Flanagan actually spoke about when he signed his new deal last week, was the fact that he actually quite enjoyed playing for Phil Parkinson, which isn't something I would really expect to hear from many of the players. I don't know why. But anyways, he did go on to say that Phil Parkinson expects his players to give everything on the pitch and be good people. And we have that culture within the dressing room. We are heading in the right direction. I'm very confident we can achieve our ambitions next season. I mean, how important, Craig, do you think it is to have players like Wright who, you know, mentality has to be everything now with Sunderland. We have to think like winners, I guess.
I think it's absolutely crucial. It's absolutely crucial. I would say I can't stress enough now. I think that this season, in terms of the recruitment, without over-exaggerating this, I don't think we can afford to get even one deal wrong. I know if we see a flashback to the window 2 years ago when we brought in all those bodies, when we've mentioned, you know, Baldwin, Flanagan, Ozturk, Leuvens and things like that, it's probably fair to say that around 50% of those signings, they just didn't work out for whatever reason. But now the position that we're in, because of the uncertainty, if you like, about whether this proposed wage cap will take impact or effect, we just don't know with that. But not only that, we don't have the resources and we don't have the funds due to, you know, the absence of parachute payments now. But yeah, I think by, you know, laying down this marker and basically going into the Championship and taking out Aidan O'Brien and obviously taking out Bailey Wright as well, I think that is a really strong statement, because I do believe that the division is going to be an awful lot tougher this season. As for Bailey Wright, in terms of who he is, I would honestly expect immediately that that is going to be a person who could rival anybody for the captain's armband, whether it is going to be Power or Leadbitter, who we know since return to the club as well. But I don't think anybody would have any concerns or any doubts if he was the one to, say, lead the team out in the first day of the season. I would also go as far as saying I don't think that really there was any, say, doubt that when our dip in form happened, really, with the last kind of four or five games where we began to tail off, it coincided with, obviously, Bailey Wright's injury. I mean, that's just my opinion, of course, but I think when he came into the side and we put that run of form together, albeit we weren't great, we were, you know, scraping some wins here and there, but for a lot of games you thought we're just not going to concede, and that really hasn't been a trait of a Sunderland side that we've seen for an awful long time. So, you know, whilst I say I'm not particularly Phil Parkinson's biggest fan, I think he's got this deal absolutely spot on. So it is really, really good to see us doing things the right way and getting off to a good start. I'm not sure, of course, when he's due to return, because the madness of obviously 2020, you're reading that he's still got to, you know, self-isolate because he's been to Ibiza. It does not get any more 2020 than that. So hopefully he'll fit in the next week or two when he's safe to return to training. But yeah, I think it's a really good deal. And judging by the reaction on social media, I think everybody feels the same.
Yeah, I'm talking about characteristics of the players that we've got currently. Obviously, we only have three centre-halves on the books, and they're all very different players. Wright's very much an aerial presence. Perhaps somebody who plays in the middle of the three defenders dictates, you know, how the back line moves. Then you've got Flanagan, who can play pretty much anywhere, but probably on the left-hand side of that, and then Willis on the right is an overlapping right back. We have actually lost four centre-halves. We've lost Jack Baldwin, who didn't play last season, but still he's gone. Lynch, who played on that left-hand side. God, who am I forgetting? Two more defenders.
Ozturk.
Ozturk, obviously. Ozturk's gone.
And Tommy Smith, also very forgettable.
Yes, another forgettable signing. But regardless, that's four defenders we've lost. I mean, what sort of centre-half would you like to see us bring in next? Alice, I'm guessing we're going to sign one more central defender. I mean, what kind of defender do we need, really?
Well, I think the kind of player you need in an ideal world, looking at those three that we have now, I think you want someone who's quite sturdy, quite sort of physically dominant, but still quite sort of technically capable. Obviously, when you're shopping in League One and when we no longer have the parachute payments, you know, we can't think too wishfully, I suppose. But what I would like to see, I suppose, if we're going to be savvy about it, is you probably want, for me, maybe like a big, imposing centre-back, someone who could play on either side of someone in the middle like Bailey Wright. Perhaps, you know, due to the limitations of the transfer window when you're in League One, I would go ahead and say I wouldn't mind if they're a bit of a daft lad, if you know what I mean, if they're not particularly strong on their decision making, because if they have someone like Jordan Willis or Billy Wright in the team, I think that will help make their decisions for them. It's the kind of thing I think we saw with Kone and Kabul to a lower extent, whereas Kone was a bit of a, you know, big sort of boulder, you know, very physically capable, you know, absolute man mountain, but when he wasn't with someone like Kabul who can make his decisions for him, he was a bit stupid. I think that's the kind of signing I could see us realistically making next. Like someone who's, you know, very big, very sort of dominant in the air, you know, strong in the tackle, and their only sort of downside of their game would be compensated by having intelligent players either side of them or on their left, on their right, wherever. That's what I could see. But I think as well with Bailey Wright and with the signing that we need to make, I think what's especially important to touch on is that we need to sign a player who has the mentality. Because you said it earlier, Gav, we do need to think like winners. I think it was either you or Craig who said it. I mean, you need only look at Wickham. You know, they possibly have the worst ever promoted team on paper. Not that I'm much of a League One historian, but you know, they're rubbish. They got promoted from 8th, but at no point in the season did they stop thinking like winners. And that's how we need to be as well. Bailey Wright, for example, is someone who I don't believe for a second will be daunted by having to play in front of the, you know, the 30,000 that we get every week in League One at the Stadium of Light. I don't think he's someone who'll cower away. He's played at a higher level than League One. He's played nationally for Australia. You know, he's played at the World Cup. He's played arguably at the highest level, if you want to include national football in club football as one sort of myriad. Then he's played at the highest level. He's certainly seen bigger stakes than challenging for the League One title, in my opinion. So just on the basis of that, I think, you know, we're very lucky to have someone with that mentality, and also whoever we bring in as well for our next centre-backs, they need to have a similar mentality. Obviously, again, maybe wishful thinking to hope for some more internationals who've played at the World Cup. You know, I highly doubt that's a really realistic possibility for a League One transfer acumen. But ultimately, just anyone who has that mentality of, right, this is, you know, the stakes are high here. Yes, this is a big stadium. Yes, the fans, you know, do want us to succeed and they do have high standards for us getting promoted, but I'm prepared to shoulder that and get on with my job.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on this actually, but Brandon Taylor signed a new deal this week, who is obviously another central defensive option, a young lad out of the under-23s who hasn't played a great deal of first-team football, but he is, you know, a decent player. He's very much more in the Jordan Willis mould, where he can play on the right of the three. He's not like a big lad. He's a bit smaller, good with the ball at his feet. I mean, Craig, do you see him maybe as one of those five, I'd say, defensive options next season?
I think we will need a bit more of a reliance on some of the younger lads who have signed a deal. I know that it is pretty much slim pickings in the academy at the moment, but for some of the lads who have featured in the AFL Trophy games maybe in the last season or two, I think we are going to have to try and blood them. And I think it is important to actually now give them that opportunity to allow them to actually stand on their own 2 feet, because one of our biggest grievances is that a lot of these lads have looked elsewhere. Even as recent as, say, Jordan Hunter, he's went to South Shields for guaranteed first-team football. There was the other Dutch lad who were interested in, the defender who signed for South Shields.
Voutel versus Stratton,
Rather than obviously come here, because we couldn't offer the guarantee of whether he'd be playing in the 23s or the first 11. But I think we're going to have to do that. I think we're going to have to give him the opportunity now, because, you know, alleged he has caught us a bit of an interest from a few Premier League teams. But I honestly think now we're going to have to look a little bit closer to home. Like I said, we don't have the resources that we once have, where we can literally pull in, say, 12, 13 bodies. And we're going to have to make sure that the squad is somewhat streamlined. And we're going to have to make sure that we basically utilise absolutely everything we've got. I know that he featured, you know, very, very briefly in last season, but I'd be prepared to basically blood him in. I don't think he's going to be ready for first team football as of yet, but for adequate cover, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him involved. And it's kind of like you said, he is more of the Jordan Willis mold, more of a ball playing centre half. He does have the right physicality for it, but, you know, if we don't give them the opportunity to at least have a go, we're just never going to find out, are we? So, yeah, I'd be happy to see the likes of him get their chance rather than, say, go out and you know, waste more of already, I suppose, a really tight budget on somebody who is probably going to come up here for a short-term deal, maybe not buy into the area, and then probably piss off at the end of the season. So I'd really like us to be more reliant on what we've got.
Alex, anything to add on central defensive options before we move on? I know, obviously, we've been talking about maybe bringing through Taylor. Do you see him as a first-team option next season? Or I would like to see the lad go out on loan, but I can sort of buy into the idea that he might be good cover for Flanagan and Willis. What's your take?
No, I'm with Craig on that one. I'd like to see him. I'd certainly like to see him introduced into the first-team squad. I'd like to see him get a debut under his belt. Couldn't personally see him being a staple in the first team, but I suppose crazier things have happened. Ultimately, the fact of the matter is, and it's not so much Craig's opinion more as it is just a complete, you know, categorical fact that we have a very limited budget. You know, there's a wage cap will be introduced. Obviously, clubs may have some time to get their act together before that comes in, but the parachute payments have gone. There's not an awful lot to play around with, not as much as we've had, and certainly we've blown a lot more than what we've had before. So, again, we need to get this right, and we need to play it safe, I think, to a certain extent with transfers. So I certainly see no issue with getting a young lad who's clearly highly rated enough to be offered another contract to possibly fill in for some of the lads in the first team if and when required. Obviously, if he makes it, he does, and if he doesn't, he doesn't, but certainly, I don't see why it isn't worth a shot. If he's been kept around this long, then obviously the general consensus has been that he does have some capacity to make it into the first team. Does he deserve a chance? Absolutely. You know, Lyndon Gooch got one, Watmore got one, Robson and Embleton have got one here and there, Honeyman got one. You know, I say why not?
Yeah. Moving on, Thursday we announced the signing of Aidan O'Brien, as I touched on earlier, released by Millwall Club, he's spent his entire career with. I'll be honest, when I'd never actually heard of him. I feel like a bit of a novice saying that, but I did what pretty much every other Sunderland fan did. I googled his name, checked Wikipedia, and was completely unenthused by his scoring record. So did the next best thing, headed to Twitter and seen what the Millwall fans were saying, and I was actually pleasantly surprised by just how positive they were towards him. I guess he's, for somebody who, like I say, wasn't particularly prolific, I don't think I've actually seen any Millwall fan say anything bad about him. The quote on SCFC.com from O'Brien is, "It feels terrific to be a Sunderland player. This is a massive club and I can't wait to get going," the usual stuff. I love scoring goals. It's what I live for, and hopefully I can bring plenty to the team. Now, what I take from that and what I take from seeing what the Millwall fans have said, which pretty much in unison is that he never got a chance in his proper position, is that he's here to maybe prove himself. That's the sort of hungry player we want, surely, Craig, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I pretty much echo what you've said, that I knew limited about him. I think we all had that sort of blanket over the eyes, if you like, that when we dropped out of the Premier League, perhaps we weren't expecting to stay in the Championship for that long, so maybe we didn't do enough research on some of the players, and that's right, we didn't stay in the Championship for too long because we went down rather than up. But it didn't really give us that much of an opportunity to see players at teams like Millwall, like Aidan O'Brien. So the limited bits that I have seen about him and the things that I have seen on social media, pretty much all of the Millwall fans were in unison saying that they were gutted to see him go. And they're all pretty much married up with the same opinion to say that, you know, he's been played out of the wrong positions. He hasn't been given an opportunity. Interestingly, I've seen a few people say that although he plays in midfield, that he's much, much better up front. So it's a bit of an interesting one immediately because you question, you know, where's he going to go? Is he going to come in and challenge, say, Greg and Wyk? Or is he going to be a replacement for, say, Aidan McGeady if he does leave, perhaps like we expect? So I think it's, well, to be honest, again, it's really one of those where we're not going to be too sure until we actually see him in action, whether it be pre-season in any games coming soon. But it's an interesting one. I'm happy with it because of the positives that have been said, but I can't really give too much of an opinion to say what I've seen of him so far, because like I said, it's just not enough at this stage. But he comes with a glowing reputation. One of the interesting comments I did see from the site, the interview that you carried out with the other Millwall page, was "So just hope he gets the breaks he needs and he doesn't get homesick as he's a London boy." So I thought, oh God, we don't need that again, because we know that we've had the issues with Will Grigg commuting to the area. So I hope he comes in, I hope he settles well. But yeah, I mean, I've got, I suppose, every bit of confidence in him that he's going to come up here and hopefully do a job. I think that's pretty much the best we can say at this stage.
Yeah, Championship experience. He's won League One in the past with Millwall, played for Republic of Ireland. I mean, is there anything we can really say negatively about this particular signing, Alex?
No, and it's worth noting as well that his League One goal scoring record is very good.
Yeah, didn't he get 17 goals when Millwall got promoted?
I think he had two seasons down there and he got, I think it was something like 17 and 19. Don't quote me on that, but it was high end in the tens, which is, you know, for a striker, yeah, generally speaking, a very good season.
Well, for Sunderland, who've got Will Grigg and Charlie Wyk, it's
yeah, no,
it's a damned improvement.
I don't
isn't
think
it?
Actually have got, I mean, how many goals have they got between them this season? I think about six, obviously, if you count. Yeah. White 6 to Grigg 0 in the league. Yeah, so not particularly great we've had already, but yeah, no, if he comes in and gets 17 goals, then by all means, that's great business. I think I personally like to subscribe to the narrative that we've signed him so we can play him back in his proper position as a striker, because I would imagine if he's been put on the wing or in midfield for this long and his goal-scoring record perhaps doesn't reflect the kind of player he really is as a centre forward, then he'd be quite frustrated and he'd probably want to rectify that as soon as possible. I mean, no one's getting any younger, obviously. He's not an old lad by any means. I believe he's 26. So we've signed someone who you would say, you know, in based on, you know, empirical evidence of how football is peak, he's someone who's probably in his prime, and we could be signing him in a division where he's proven he could score goals before as a centre forward. So assuming that Parkinson's plan, which I pray that it is, then we, you know, again, this could be another very astute signing on a limited budget. It seems that certainly we're using it well so far, and he's another international. So, you know, I said before, yeah, perhaps it was wishful thinking to get as many of those as possible, but you know, we've got an Australian international and we've got one who has recently just broke into the Republic of Ireland team, which is again very promising and makes him feel like a very up and coming sort of player. Again, I know that he's 26, but he's someone whose career trajectory certainly seems to not be on a downward one, because we've had plenty of those. It seems to be someone who's, I think, is fairly stagnant for the time being with a few green shoots, but this could be a season for him where obviously if he is able to prove himself and prove himself right, then his career could shoot right back up in the right direction, and quite literally so could Sunderland.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speculating at this stage, but I think he's going to have the hallmarks of like a Daryl Murphy type signing for us. And like a League One level, I know obviously Murphy didn't do very well in the Premier League for us, but he seems that he has, you know, a decent physicality about him, a good build. If you look at some of the goals that he scored, I know it's the old cliche of looking at YouTube, but he seems a pretty physical player, that he's quite handy. He is basically something that we have missed, I would say, over the course of the past two seasons. So I think if we are bringing somebody in like that who has represented, obviously, Ireland at senior level, it's, again, it's a very promising very promising start of the window for us. So, again, I can't find any positives. Negatives, should I say, which is very unlike us. Because, yeah, you know, usually something would normally go amiss somewhere along the line. I think, oh, Christ, why are we bringing this one in? But, again, with him and Bailey Rice, it looks like they've both got a desire to be here. And I can't imagine either one of them have come to settle for, say, 8th place again. I think they're coming here with the aspiration of playing for Sunderland in the Championship the season after this one coming. So I think it's a very, very good few days for us.
Absolutely. And I think fundamentally, sorry, Gav, I think fundamentally these are both Championship players. I think it's my sort of like, just my point to summarise, that we have, I think, signed two players who are recognised by other clubs as being Championship standard players. And I think obviously that alone should be promising. Obviously, there are a myriad of other factors to consider, but I think those things have been considered and we have made signings that have the right attributes, both mentally and physically, and have just the raw quality. So I think if every signing is on paper, I use the term on paper, of course, because you never know. If every signing on paper is like these two, then I would be very optimistic going into the start of the season. But yeah.
Knowing what we know about Phil Parkinson, Craig, I mean, playing a 3-4-3, which sort of role do you think Aidan O'Brien will feature in them? Because I know obviously Parkinson had mentioned he can play in a variety of attacking roles, which I feel is important for us. Obviously, adding variety is a good thing. But I know that at Millwall, he tended to play off the left, which is pretty much Lyndon Gooch's position, isn't it? Where do you sort of see him fitting in?
Well, see, that is the important question, isn't it? Because not only do we have a bit of strength and depth now in that competition, we've also got, you know, the prospect of, say, Elliot Embleton coming in there. Jack Diamond is obviously a possibility, who has actually literally just scored about 10 minutes ago for Harrogate at Wembley. So whether he stays with us or not, you know, we're pretty blessed going forward now, I would say, at least in those particular positions. I honestly expect to see him on the left. I think that he will provide a bit of competition for Lyndon Gooch, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think we will see the best out of Lyndon Gooch when he does have, you know, pressure on him for that particular position. When Lewis Morgan came into the side, for example, and kind of forced him down the pecking order a little bit, you know, it was no surprise to see him basically come back and return to form. And it was quite similar that he went through a bit of a sticky patch when Phil Parkinson first arrived, that he came back and worked incredibly well with Chris Maguire. So at the moment, I'm expecting to see O'Brien feature on the left. Again, I can only imagine that he's coming here to start. I don't imagine that he's going to want to sit on the bench. So I think competition in those areas are vitally important. But I still would like to see another striker come in. Again, obviously, I can't imagine Will Grigg is going to be going anywhere due to wages. Phil Parkinson's obviously been knocking on the door to say, we need you to commit to being here, move to the area. And there's been no noises about that since. So I really do think that we need to add to that particular area, because with all due respect to him and Charlie Wyke, they haven't quite cut it here. So whether Aidan O'Brien features on the left or whether he features up front, we are still going to need to strengthen there. But yeah, I imagine, like I said beforehand, that he is going to be that sort of Daryl Murphy type character, where he is going to feature perhaps in a variety of roles, but mainly on the left, I think.
Craig touched on it earlier, Alex, about the interview which I did with the Millwall fanzine, The Lion Roars, which people can head to the website and take a look. I think it went up on Thursday, actually, when he signed. There was two answers in particular which stood out to me. First off, I asked, you know, is he any good, basically? And he said he's great. He never really got the chances he deserved at Millwall. He's been with us since he was 15, but none of the managers we've had seem to play him in the right position as a forward. Then when I asked, you know, where's he at his best, he said he's far better as a forward, which, again, looking at that scoring record, you're kind of sceptical about how prolific he might actually be as a striker. And he noted that the Republic of Ireland played him centre-forward and he did really well. I mean, if, say, he's come in to lead the line, where does that leave Will Grigg? Where does that leave Charlie Wyke in your eyes? Because I know, obviously, Grigg in particular is the one that we're going to struggle to shift.
Yeah.
Do you see him sitting on the bench as third choice again for another season?
I mean, I think that's a bit of a difficult situation for both parties, because I think ideally Greg would be anywhere but at Sunderland right now. He's obviously not settled. If that interview at The Athletic was anything to go by, then he, you know, has nothing but a very sort of implicit disdain for being here. Charlie Wyke, I think, would possibly be a bit more squashable on that front. I think he'd possibly be a bit more okay with, you know, playing second fiddle and trying to sort of unsettle O'Brien from the number one spot, assuming we were playing one striker, of course, and not two. But yeah, I don't think Greg will want to sit around any longer than he has to. I don't think we want him to, because he's obviously eating away a big chunk of the wage packet for the club. Whether or not we are able to move him is an entirely different story. I can't see it happening, and I can't see anyone, any party being happy with, about that. But I think Wyke, I'd imagine, is on a lot smaller a wage. I can imagine Wyke staying for the next season. I can just imagine him not playing as much as he had to play this season. Obviously, Parkinson does like him quite a lot, as we saw. Sometimes even inexplicably, Parkinson liked him when he was in such bad form. But Wyke did, on occasion, get goals. I mean, that isn't, you know, obviously not, he doesn't have a prolific scoring record, but Wyke did score goals. Greg has not scored goals. So I think, you know, based on a pure mathematical reasoning, you'd probably say Greg bottom of the pecking order, Wyke second and O'Brien first, if O'Brien was able to prove himself. And I think that would work quite well for the top two, but I don't think it would work very well for Will Greig. So I could imagine him being quite despondent and quite miserable here if he isn't able to be moved. But given the nature of his wages and his form, there's not an awful lot I can see anyone really doing anything about.
Mm. Just to round things off then, obviously that's two in the first week of pre-season training.
Yeah.
Where do we see perhaps the next signing coming from? I mean, at this rate, you would expect us to sign maybe another four players, I would say.
Yeah.
Anybody got any thoughts on that? Maybe where we might see the next player come in?
Yeah, goalkeeper. I think I think that's got to be next. I mean, there's been murmurs of that Sarkic at Wolves, which I'd be quite happy about. But generally speaking, as long as the signing is, you know, it sort of contributes to us having an effective sort of financial policy with transfers, and as long as the signing is obviously good, I don't particularly mind where it comes from, as long as it makes sense in those ways.
What about you, Craig? Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I echo that. Yeah, I think by bringing in a goalkeeper, whether it is the young lad from Wolves or whoever else, that's a necessity straight off. I think by doing so, it's going to offer good competition for Lee Burge, who you can only imagine will start the season as number one. And I think it will afford us the opportunity to loan out Anthony Patterson as well, who is going to need some much needed first team experience, because I think there is perhaps an expectancy after this season that he may feature somewhat for us, whether that's on the bench or whether he'll get the opportunity to challenge for number one later down the line. I think in addition to that, we are desperately crying out for some additional creativity in midfield. I would say in particular centre midfield. I think in terms of what we've got, it's pretty much a similar style of player, if you like, in terms of, say, power and Leadbitter. I was one of George Dobson's biggest critics in the season just gone, because, you know, although he did improve as the season went on, I just don't think he offered enough for where we are aiming to be. I think it was only one goal, one assist. I'd say, don't quote me on that, I may be wrong. But I think that we are needing now like a big athletic player to come in and just basically charge down the midfield. I don't think we've had, you know, kind of like a 6 foot plus sort of shithouse, if you like, for quite some time. And I noted somebody on Twitter the other day said we need somebody of like an Ndai physicality, who is basically going to come in and, you know, marshal that midfield, because I think that's where we have been a little weak over the last season or two. Contrary to people's, you know, kind of popular thoughts on Lee Cattermole and things like that, I think that we were overrun an awful lot in season one, and I think last season as well, we were awfully short on depth. So I'd like to think that we can hopefully bring in a little bit of quality in that areas, but the expectancy is, like you said, I still think it's got to be about 4 or 5. And it has to be the caliber of the two that we've just brought in. It has to be the right signings, because we can't be facing a fourth season in this league. So I'm happy with what we've got so far, but I think we really need to kind of ramp this up a little bit now, because this next 5 or 6 weeks is going to absolutely fly by, and we need to aim to ensure that by the time the first day of the season comes around, that, you know, we're not sort of playing catch up like we did last season, going down to the last days of the window, scrounging for loan signings or anything like that. Get it done now. Let them settle. Let them get used to each other. And let's just get off to the best start of that we possibly can. I don't know about you two, actually, but, you know, I've been reading an awful lot where people have saying that they're absolutely sort of sick. And, you know, when football wasn't here, this, that, and the other, that they aren't missing it. But I mean, I kid you not, as soon as, you know, the first signing came back through and as soon as you see them back in training, you see the new training kits, I've got the buzz back for it again. Like, I'm literally really, really hyped for it. It's just one of those things, isn't it? No matter how much, you know, they can kind of rain on your parade. I think we're all just desperate for it to be back now. So I'm really looking forward to it. So long may it continue that the good signings come in. It's been a good few days.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just to round things off, I agree with that sort of sentiment towards the new season starting, and in that I've just had no enthusiasm for football over the whole lockdown period, really. But things are coming back slowly but surely, and like you say, the once the transfer gossip starts, everybody starts, you know, getting the juices flowing again. That's what we enjoy as fans, don't we? We like to dream a little bit. But one last thing, just a little tidbit which I'd heard this week, and I won't name names, but talking about new players coming in, I did hear that a left back was at the academy the same day as O'Brien signed, so who knows, that could be the next player through the door.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm not going to name him. I think I named him on the one last podcast, actually, so it won't be hard to work out, but there we go. But yeah, thanks for joining us, lads. We'll round off there, just a nice and short one today. Hopefully there'll be no looming disaster occurring anytime soon, which means we don't have to reconvene. We can keep talking about nice things. But yeah.
Let's be fair, even if there is a disaster, it's still going to be overshadowed by the meltdown 13 miles up the road. So we'll just remain happy with what we've got down here, and we'll drink our cans.
Mr. Craig Chapman, you stop that right now. You know full well that is a national travesty that the Mags have to have the poorer billionaire, not the richer one. Don't you dare make light of that. That is ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I will retract that, and I will sign the statement, and I will get in contact with Boris Johnson first thing.
Good lad.
Same. Cheers, everyone. Thanks very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll catch you down the road.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.